Brother, when Jamie mentioned he was nervous, I said, it's a good thing. It is a good thing to be nervous when you get up, especially when you're, if you're singing, if you're preaching, if you're teaching, because we're not worthy to do this. And who we're doing this before God, not before men. We're not to be men pleasers, we're to be God pleasers. And it's, I tell you, the time we get comfortable is a time we better be scared and realize who we're doing this for. I want you to take your Bibles and please turn with me to the book of Haggai. And I'm getting an echo. Haggai, the book, is this, if this is still on, it was probably the echo. Haggai chapter 2. I'm going to preach a message about rebuke and encouragement. Rebuke and encouragement. And I'm going to tell you, 95% is on encouragement. Only 5% is on rebuke this morning. Because many times in our lives, it feels like a lot of times we get a lot of rebuke. How many feel like you get a lot of rebuke a lot of times in your life? Some way, somehow, some way, you get rebuke. And we need rebuke. Right, Brother Rex? We need rebuke, right? There is times that we need rebuke in our lives. We need that chastisement. Why? Because that is what gets a hold of us sometimes in us to see a need. Now, in Haggai chapter 1, we know, and we're going to just give a quick recap of Haggai 1. Haggai 2 is where we're going to be. But Haggai 1, we know the recap. We know what's taking place. Now, there's two prophets that were given to try to wake the people up and to get the people to start rebuilding the temple. Haggai was one, and the other one was Zechariah. Zechariah was the other prophet that was given to wake the people up and then to see the need. Now, those that have studied this out before, that you know that the temple sat in ruins. They were supposed to be rebuilding the temple, but the people chose not to build the temple. The people chose to build their own homes. The people chose to do their own things, and they got busy doing their own stuff. And because they got busy doing their own stuff, God's house, the temple, sat in ruins. Now, that is very common to what is happening in our day and age. Here's the 5%. That's the rebuke. This is very common in our day and age. We get so busy in our own lives. We get so busy with our schedules. We get so busy with what's happening and what's going on in this world. We get so busy that God's things, the things of God, take a back seat to our own lives. We get so busy in taking the kids here and taking the kids there and taking care of our spouses and taking care of this and taking care of that, that we neglect the house of God. We neglect being faithful. We neglect giving. We neglect those things that we should put first and foremost. We neglect our Bible reading. We neglect prayer. We neglect witnessing. We neglect those things in our lives. And we say, we just don't have time. But we have everything we want. We have the nice cars. We have the nice homes. We have the nice clothes. We have our kids involved in this event, this activity, this sports thing, that thing. Wait a second. Are we not the same as those that allowed the temple of God to sit in ruins and they did their own thing, took care of themselves? We need to wake up and realize once again, our life is about serving the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not about building our enjoyment in life. It is not about building our success. It is not about making sure our kids are involved in every activity there is. That is not the main purpose of our life. The main purpose of our life ought to be the things of God, glorifying God, praising God, and living for God. They were rebuked, and they started to listen, and they started to build. And then there came some discouragement. We're going to look at the discouragement, we're going to look at the encouragement, And we're going to look at the results this morning. That's the main rebuke this morning. Now let's get into the message. If you're able to, please stand. Haggai chapter 2. Look at verse 1 through verse 9. In the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, "Speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, Who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do we see it now? Is not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. And be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord. And work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I conveyed with you when ye came out of Egypt. So my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once in a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I shake all nations, and desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Thy glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts." Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you for this time that we can open your scriptures. And Lord, I pray as we look at your scriptures, you would help us to see what you want us to glean this morning. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As you look at verse 2 and verse 3, as we just read, you will see that this message was directed to the leaders of that day, to the judges and to those there, because there was some discouragement that was being given. You see this in verse 3. There were some older people that were discouraging the younger and discouraging the building and discouraging what was taking place, because they started to compare the former temple to the new temple, what they were building. They started to look and said, wait, this is not as glamorous as we once had. And as you take time, you can study other portions of Scripture, not just in Haggai, and see the difference in regards to the temple. And even how they built the temple. Those have been in Israel. We've got to see some of the ruins of the temples and the different temples that were built. And even the different sizes of the stones that were used. And some of the building and the sizes of it that's left in there. And there's a vast comparison between the two. And they sat there and they said, what is happening? And there were some civil leaders, there was the judges, there was those in authority that were not happy because they were comparing it and they were discouraging and saying, hey, we're not doing this the right way. We're not doing it like we did before. We're not doing it and we're not building as we should. Do you know in our Christian life, discouragement comes? And that's why we need encouragement. We're going to look at it in a minute. Discouragement comes. I want to be honest. There's times in my Christian life I've been discouraged. I believe in every one of our lives, if we're truly a blood-bought believer of a Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, there's times in your life when you have been discouraged. I tell you, I remember, even as a young kid when I first received the Lord as my Savior, even as a young kid there was excitement. I remember there's many times in life I had excitement, but there's times as I went in my Christian life, there's times that the toils, the hardness of this world starts to play a role and discouragement comes. But also discouragement comes sometimes from other believers. Now, I want to say stuff, and I please do not take me wrong this morning. A lot of times, and I understand and I use it, we look back to the old days. We look back where people could sit in church for 3.5 hours and not complain. We look back to the old days where they had people underneath the pulpit praying and they saw great revival. We go back to the old days where you would never see. And again, please hear me fully out before I'm done. The old days where you would never imagine anyone wearing anything but a suit and tie to church. There was a day and age where you would never think anyone would use anything but a hard or soft cover Bible. You look back to the old days where you were never thought that certain things would change and take place. And many times, and even how buildings are built and churches were built and things were done, you look back. I remember even seeing my pastor that I grew up with, Dr. Cummins, and who's with the Lord, a great man of God, that God greatly used. I remember one time driving by and seeing him cutting his grass with the tie on. That was standard back then. I remember my dad and I even chopped wood and he had a tie on. There was times. And you would think that was it. You would never walk into a pastor's office. You would not have a suit and tie on. And we start comparing, we start looking back. There was a time that you would never even laugh in a church. As some of you remember those days, and it was a different type of thing. And we start looking, and we start comparing, and we start looking back. And I tell you, it's hard sometimes. Now, there's some things we need to get back to. That's the old past that's talked about in the book of Jeremiah, and we need to stay the old past. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is what we do is what has happened today and is discouraging individuals today is we start to look back at what used to be. And we compare it just as they were comparing the temple and said, hey, the temple was more glamorous. The temple was bigger. The temple was better. Why are we building a smaller temple? Why are we not doing this? Why are we not putting this in? Why are we not doing this? And I understand some things we need to stay true on. Don't get me wrong. But what has happened is we've discouraged individuals. And then what they do, instead of doing anything for God, they stop. Because discouragement's come. Now, I'm all for standing for right. You know that, those have been here. I'm all for staying the old past. I'm all for singing the hymns. I'm all for staying true to God and living for Him. I'm all for doing what we need to do as a church and being an old-fashioned church, if you will. But I'm telling you, we have discouraged some of our young people in our day and age today. There's a day, and now I'm going to tell you, I prefer certain things, and don't get me wrong, but there are churches today that people that have just recently got saved walked into a church, and the lady had pants on, and they would hand a dress to that lady and make them change. That is discouraging someone. We need to be careful. We need to teach. We need to train. We need to see an individual grow. We need to see them mature in the things of God. We need not to discourage. Even in that day with the temple, there is a way to encourage and say, hey, maybe we can do this, or maybe we can do a little better. Maybe we can. But to discourage and get to a point that, hey, if it's not my way, I'm not going to do it. How many of you ever met a person that way? Some of you just nudged your husband. You're going to be in trouble tonight. I'm not going to point out who just did that. And it wasn't Rich this time. But we have to realize that we need encourage, not discourage. Even with our kids, this is hard. I tell you, my mind, I know how I want my kid to be. How many had that picture in your mind? And you expected your kid to be what you wanted, right? To talk a certain way. Act a certain way, dress a certain way. I tell you, I loved when my daughter Mackenzie was small because I got to put my type of dresses and those type on her. As she got older, she wanted a little say in that. Not that it was bad stuff, but I like those old-fashioned dresses, the ones that go down to the wrist, down to the ankles, all the way up to the neck. That's my type of, when she's little, I could do that. But you know what we do sometimes? You're not going to wear my type. Oh, you're just wicked. You're just terrible. Even though what they're wearing is still godly and modest in that. We need to encourage, not discourage. We need to put fuel on the fire. We need to look and say, okay, we need to encourage one another. They got to a place they were discouraging. I tell you, there's in a church, not everyone thinks exactly the same way. There are some people, and especially with a vast generation gap, we have a many different age levels and many different, if you're in, you know, this group, that group, if you're a baby boomer, if you're this, you're that, all the different ones, if you're in the old man group or whatever, those different things, we're all different. I tell you, one of the areas that even I struggle with, and I know some of the young people think I'm weird because I must be old, but some of the old people agree with me. I'm all for technology, but some of this technology is too much for me. And some of it you got to be careful with that. But there's some young people that can use that technology and use those things. And I tell you, several years ago, you would never catch me on Facebook. You would never catch me on Facebook. Now I'm on Facebook. Those that know I'm on Facebook know what I post, though. Basically, it's all church stuff. That's the only thing I post. I'm trying to use that as an opportunity. But what I'm saying is, we need to be careful. We need to stand for right. We need to encourage our kids to do right. But we need to not discourage. We need not discourage those in this church. Now, there's some people who have ideas that come to me and I say, that's a great idea. I don't think we're going to do that at this time. Why? Because there's some biblical principles, some biblical things that we can't do it. But what I'm saying is this, let's encourage one another, not discourage. They were discouraging, but I want you to look at the encouragement this morning. I want you to see what the antidote was in verse 4 through verse 5. They were discouraged. They were ready to quit. They were ready not to finish. They were ready not to continue. And maybe you're here this morning. You're ready to quit. You're ready not to continue. You're ready not to keep doing what you need to do. Look at verse 4, verse 5. We'll see the antidote for this. Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I'm with you, saith the Lord of hosts. First we see, be strong. And he broke out the individual people. And it says, you be strong, you be strong, you be strong, you be strong. Don't become weak, don't become discouraged. Be strong. What we need today in our churches, among believers today, we need to be strong in the Lord and of good courage. We need to be strong and steadfast. We need to be able to say we're going to continue the work that God has called us to. We have to realize that God still has a plan for us. God still has a purpose for us. God still wants this church to grow and to mature. God still wants you as an individual to grow and mature. God still wants this church to be a better lighthouse than it's ever been. God still wants to see souls saved and lives changed. Don't give up. Don't quit. Be strong. As you get tired, as you get weak, as you get ready to throw in that towel, be strong. How many of you have ever been involved in an activity that you were doing and you were so far from the finish line? No matter what it was, you had a few minutes on the timer, you had a few more laps to run, you had a few more strokes in the swimming pool. You were in some activity, and you were not yet done yet. And it felt like all your strength was zapped from you. You didn't feel like you could take another step. You didn't feel like you could move your legs anymore, your arms a little more. You couldn't swing a bat another minute. Your hands, your arms, your feet, everything was so tired. You were so weak. You're ready to quit. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, all of a sudden you became Superman. You got this surge of energy. Woo! And you just got that energy. All of a sudden, you didn't know how you did it. But man, you started swimming faster than you ever did up to that point. You started running quicker than you ever did. You swing that bat better than you ever did. All of a sudden, man, you've got that surge. Be strong. Because when you're weak, he is strong. And as you and I are going through life, there's some hard times. There's some struggles. There's some times we feel down. We feel ready to quit. But don't quit, because God can and God will give you the strength that you need to finish that course, to finish that race, to finish what is set before you. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged, because be strong in the Lord. The encouragement is, don't be strong in yourself. Be strong in the Lord, and he can give you the strength that you and I need in our life. I tell you, there's days that we all feel tired. I remember when I was young. I shared this with someone the other day. I remember when I was young, I could do a lot more than I can do now. And I'm not that old, I know. There's days I could go on 4 hours, 5 hours of sleep, and I did throughout college. And I could do it. There's days I worked a job after we got married and I was at a church and I worked maintenance and we had to fill in the boiler shift, that I would work my shift, get off, and then go in at midnight, work to the next morning, and then take that and not go to sleep and work and have the whole day as a free day off with no sleep, working two shifts. I couldn't do that anymore. There's days that I remember I didn't need much sleep. I didn't need much rest. I could go and go and go. But there's days now, as I've gotten older, as I've had certain things happen and certain things take place, that energy level is kind of waning a little bit. Some of you don't believe that. You should have saw me 17 years ago here. A little way back energy level. And sometimes it feels like I can barely move and barely go. But I tell you, God is so good. Because when I get to that place, when I'm feeling exhausted, not just physically, but spiritually, when I'm getting to that place that I feel like I'm just ready to say, forget it, I hear that still small voice that says, be strong in the Lord. And all of a sudden, you get that zap, woo! And you get that energy, you get that excitement, you get that zeal, and God gives you that strength to be able to go and be able to run that mile, to be able to go and do what you need to do in your life for him and serve him. I tell you, you have some energy, you have some strength, because God says, I'm not done with you. I still have something great for you to do. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter who you are. You can do what God wants you to do, and God will give you that strength to be able to serve him and live for him. But not only are we to be strong in the Lord, we're to work. Look at verse 4. And be strong and work. And work. Work is a four-letter word that some people don't like, because it means labor. That word work means labor, intensive labor. It means sweat. How many of you like to sweat? Some of you like to sweat. Some of us sweat when it's 30 degrees outside. It's just how we're wired, all right? Some of you, you freeze all the time. It could be 300 degrees outside and you're still freezing. This is the idea of sweating, working. How many have worked out in the heat of Idaho summers? This summer was not that bad. We never got the real heat that we've had before. And you're working out in that heat. You're out there, you're rich, taking care of the garden here and his garden at home. And that sun comes out, Rich, And it's hitting that 103, 104 weather. And Rich has his big farmer's hat on. But still, the sweat is still pouring down him. And that sweat is coming. That's labor. That's work. Some of you, you get to sit behind a computer in an air-conditioned office. And yes, I know it's a different type of work. But that sweating is far different. And it's that labor. What happens when you do that manual labor? Not that working behind a computer is not work. I'm not saying that. But what's that labor? When you're doing that labor work, what happens to all your bones and your body and everything? How many did hard work outside and wake up the next morning and you can't get out of bed, no matter what age you are? Why? Because that labor, that work, the intensity there. This is the idea he's saying. I want you to understand this. I want you to get this. I want you to see this. He says, you got to be strong in the Lord, but you got to be working. You got to be intense about what you're doing. You got to get intense about this temple. Don't be discouraged because it's not what it used to be or what other people thought it should be. Get intense about it. Be strong in me and get busy doing it. And don't worry if you're going to sweat. Don't worry if it's going to hurt. Don't worry if it's going to take your time. Don't worry what it's going to do to you. Just work. Be encouraged this morning. We need to work. We need to keep working. We need to keep pressing. We need to finish. We need to do. Be encouraged this morning. You and I need to do work for the Lord. We're not saved by works, but our salvation is shown by our good works. And we need to be working. We need to be laboring for God. Each of us have a job. As a body of Christ, as a local body of Christ, we have a job. We have a duty. We have a responsibility. We have something we ought to be working and doing as part of the family of God. It doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your health. It doesn't matter your background. Every one of us ought to be working. There was a job everyone could do on the temple. There was a job that even the smallest individual could do on the temple. The oldest individual could do on the temple. And that's the same within the church. There's a job that every one of us can do and need to be doing. Your job may be different than my job. Your work may be different than my work. Your ability may be different than my ability. But every one of us need to be laboring intensely for the Lord. Be encouraged. Be doing. Find a job. Find an area. Find a place of service. And use the abilities. Use the talents. Use what God's given you. And use it for Him. I tell you, there's jobs for everyone. I've shared this before. There's a lady back in Wisconsin. She's passed away now. And I remember when I was there as the assistant pastor and then was interim pastor there. I remember her talking to me. And she was so sad. And she said, well, I can't do what I used to do. And she was close to her 90s. And we were just talking, but she goes, I do still do something. And I said, what do you do? And I tell you, this was awesome what she did. She would every day get the phone book out. And she would go through, and some of you don't know what a phone book is. It's the old thing that we used to have about this thick that had all the phone numbers and stuff in it. It was not a Google search on the internet, okay? We didn't have that. And she got the phone book out. And she would go through it and try to get through that phone book in that area in a year and pray for every name and every person in that phone book. And then she would go through and she would send a letter letting them know she was praying for them. And she would put a church track in every letter that she sent out of these individuals she prayed for and sent. That's work. See, there's a job for everyone. There's a purpose for everyone. Be encouraged. It doesn't matter who you are. God has something for you. And God wants to use you. Not only do they work, be strong, Lord, work, but I want you to see this. Verse number four and five. But look at this. Be strong. Be working. For I am with you. Verse four. For I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be encouraged. You're not alone. Be encouraged. He is there with you. I am so glad he'll never leave me nor forsake me. I'm so glad this world may forsake me. I'm so glad that even family members may forsake me. But I'm so glad my God will never, ever forsake me. And no man can pluck me out of his hand. I am his. He is mine. And no one can separate me from the love of God. And I'm glad he's with me. When I get discouraged, I get encouraged. Because I think about my God's right there with me. There's some dark days that we face and some darker days that we're probably going to face. There's some hard times that you've gone through, but probably some even harder times you're going to go through. But if you're a believer, don't forget. There's someone right there with you whose hands are stretched out and says, my child, I'm there for you. Come to me and let me wrap my arms around you. Let me hold you tight. I'm there for you. And when you get so tired and so weak, he says, I'll pick you up and I'll get you going. You don't have to worry about it. I'll carry you through this. And there's nothing we cannot handle apart from God's help in our lives. He says, there's nothing too big for him. And he's there with us to guide us, to direct us, to help us. Let's be encouraged. You're not alone. When you're in your room and the tears are flowing because you're struggling, remember who's right there with you. Remember who's there right there when you're going through that time that you don't know how you're going to get through that situation and you're just ready to quit. You're just overstressed, overpressured with everything that's happening with family, with kids, with all those things that are happening with work. Remember, God is right there with you. Be encouraged this morning because God is with you. He'll give you that hope and the help that you need in your life. He says, be strong. Work, for I'm with you. But look at this last part of this verse here. Verse 5. According to the word that I conveyed with you when he came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. Be encouraged this morning. Don't fear. God says the temple is going to be rebuilt. Don't fear. Don't worry about the discouragement. Don't worry about those saying it can't be done. Don't worry about those that are trying to compare it. Don't fear what people are saying. Don't you be afraid. Fear ye not. Finish the temple. You leaders, don't you fear. Press, finish. Believer, fear ye not. God's called you, and he who's called you is not done with you, or he was taking you to glory. He saved you, he's called you to serve him, and he's called you to serve him to the day he takes you home. And don't you fear. God has something for you, and God wants you to finish what he has for you. Don't be afraid of you not being able to finish it. Because if God started it, he's going to finish it. If God wants you to do it, he's going to give you what you need. Don't you be afraid. Be encouraged. You know what? Some of us have gotten fearful. And we're worried. I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish. I don't know how wicked this world is. And I know this world's wicked. Even Jude warned us about that. And, oh, this is happening. That's happening. I need not to fear what's going to come. I need to look at today for what today is. and realize God has placed me here one more day for a purpose and for a reason. I can't tell you we're going to be here a year from now. I don't know. I can't tell you what this world's going to look like in a few months to a few years. I tell you, I start thinking about it, I start getting fear. I start thinking about what could happen. I could start thinking about what's going to happen with our government. I could start thinking about if certain people get in, what's going to happen and how a church is going to look. And yes, we need to make some plans. I understand that. But we need not to fear. Because whatever happens, God's going to give us what we need to finish what God wants us to finish. And what God wants us to do. Let's be encouraged. Don't be afraid. Take the day that God's given you and serve Him with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and finish what God has for you. And if you wake up tomorrow and you have breath, serve God. And if you wake up 2 weeks from now with breath, serve God. Be encouraged. Don't be afraid. And serve God day in and day out. Let's be encouraged. Let us not be afraid. Too many believers are having a spirit of fear today. We are not to have a spirit of fear. The Bible tells us that. We have the spirit of power and of a sound mind, focused on Christ. Be encouraged. God is greater than anything this world is going to throw at us. God is greater than any presidential election. God is greater than any government in this world. God is far greater. Don't fear. What's going to happen? Well, we see in verse 6 through verse 9, real quickly, just give this. I believe this is talking about when Christ establishes His kingdom. I believe this is talking about the millennial temple. But it's applicable to them, to encourage them. It's applicable to us. There's going to be shaking. There's going to be the glory of the temple filled. There's all that's going to be take place, all that's going to happen, and all that's going to be there. The picture I want you to get of this, and I don't want to take much more time because we're a little past, but I want you to get this. The whole picture of this is you're going to see the glory of God. It doesn't matter the size. It doesn't matter the discouragement. God is still going to get the glory. It doesn't matter if one soul gets saved or 5,000 souls get saved. God gets the glory. It doesn't matter if one person's life is changed and they get right with God. Or 500. Yes, I understand 500 is great, but God still gets the glory with one. It doesn't matter if you have a church of 10,000 or you have a church of 80, God still can get the glory. It doesn't matter if you can only, and your income is only a certain amount, and you only tithe $10, or if you tithe $10,000, God still gets the glory. The thought is this. It doesn't matter if you clean a toilet or if you teach a Sunday school class. God still gets the glory. The thought is this. Be encouraged and do what God wants you to do. And no matter what that job is, no matter what that work is, be strong. Finish it because God is with you and realize God will get the honor and glory as long as you're doing it for Him and not for yourself. Be encouraged. We're to glorify God. We're to serve God. They needed to get busy rebuilding. And after their encouragement, they kept going to build the temple. You know what we need? We need that little prod, that encouragement to get going. Some of you know a cattle prod, right? Some of us need that cattle prod. to our backside to get us moving again. Let's take this message as a cattle prod this morning to encourage us to get back at it. Don't be discouraged. Be encouraged. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. Lord, we thank you for this message. Lord, I pray that it was an encouragement to us. I pray it was a help to us to be able to hear these encouraging words to get us excited about you again. Lord, I pray that you just use what we've heard in a special way. We pray if there's one that does not know he's their Savior, that individual would receive you today. Thank you for sending your Son to die on the tree, rise again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, as you stand with me. Brother James is just going to play softly on the sax, a little different than normal. We're just going to go ahead and stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. If God's worked in your heart this morning as he's playing, why don't you come make this an old-fashioned altar this morning? Why don't you come do business with God this morning? Kneel at your seat. Take some time between you and God. Maybe you're struggling with discouragement. Get encouraged with him this morning. Let the Lord encourage you. Maybe you've stopped working. Get encouraged and start working. Maybe you've let others defeat you. Don't let someone else affect your spirituality. Keep walking with God no matter what people say. Be encouraged. God is with you. Finish that course God's given you. God is so good. Let's serve God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind.